This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It has been just about 3 months since a plane carrying nearly 50 Venezuelan migrants landed on Martha's Vineyard from Texas. In response, the organization Lawyers for Civil Rights filed a federal class action lawsuit on behalf of those migrants. And just last week, they updated the suit, amending the claim to include more defendants who are believed to be tied to the flight and to its planning. That includes the company that owns the plane and a woman now identified as Perla Huerta, who is accused of luring the migrants in Texas. Here's Oren Selstrom, litigation director for Lawyers for Civil Rights.
Our clients were essentially lied to about the purpose of the flights, who was behind them, where they would be going, and what clients could expect at the final destination. And that is really what is so morally repugnant and illegal about the conduct at issue in the lawsuit.
Selstrom says that the next step is for everyone named in the suit, the defendants, to respond to the claims.
From there, we expect that there will be what's called discovery, where we will have the opportunity to gain even more documents, texts, photos, and so forth to fully unravel how this scheme came to be, and ultimately then to be able to depose the defendants and other witnesses and have them answer under oath exactly what happened, and then ultimately a trial after that.
In the meantime, while the cameras and the microphones have moved on, life continues for the migrants who landed on the vineyard. They're working toward living and working legally in the U.S. Earlier this morning, we spoke with Rachel Self, who's an immigration attorney representing five of them. She has been working alongside Lawyers for Civil Rights and as part of a group supporting all the migrants who flew to the Commonwealth from Texas. And we started by asking Rachel to give us a word that describes what she's seen and experienced with this small community over these last few months.
Oh, goodness. I would say it's been quite inspiring. I think that's the best word to call it, because over time, everything that we've seen on the ground and the way that everybody showed up to help these individuals and the role that I was able to play in it, really seeing everybody live their lives and start to get started here, it's been truly inspiring.
Has there been sort of, Rachel, a defining moment in that time or a specific story that embodies or personifies what has made it so inspiring?
Well, I think one of the things that comes to mind is this last Thanksgiving. There are five of the Venezuelans living back on Martha's Vineyard. And as I think a lot of people now know, I live on the island and have lived there full time for more than 10 years. And it's my community. And this year, I actually hosted four of them at my home for Thanksgiving to come and have dinner along with my own family. And my family has a tradition, like many families, of going around the table at dinner and saying what we're thankful for. And from my father, who's in his late 70s, to my niece, who is 7, to my nephew, who's 10, to my sister-in-law, and everyone that was around the table, including these four individuals from Venezuela, it turns out that all of us have gratitude for the same things: our family, our health, food on the table, and a safe place to call home. And so for me, just sitting around the table, and I do this work every day, and I see these people from various walks of life every day, but my family doesn't necessarily get the same exposure. And it was just so lovely to see everybody talking with each other and learning from each other and breaking bread with each other and being reminded that despite all the rhetoric that we see all the time on news channels and despite the vitriol in this country that's directed toward immigration as a whole in so many aspects of it, we're all just human beings looking for the same things.
I'm struck by the phrase you used, a safe place to call home. You're working with five of the migrants who came to Martha's Vineyard. Do you feel they all now have a safe place to call home?
Luckily, at this point for them, yes. I mean, and we need to remember that what that means to you and me versus what it means to these people that have been through so much and lost so much. I mean, many of them came here with just the clothes on their back. Many of them had been seriously traumatized back in Venezuela, seriously harmed on their journey to get here, suffered significant emotional, physical, and mental trauma. And so for you and me, we might say, oh, I'm happy to have a safe place. But for them, it's something even more visceral in that just to know that they have, you know, food, shelter, clothing, you know, basics to that level. And for the ones that I'm working with, and also for the ones that I know down on the island, they just are so grateful to know that they are, at least for today, okay. And it's important to understand that they've been through a lot, and the things that force them to make the incredibly hard decision to leave their homeland, to risk everything and come to a place where nothing was guaranteed, to find themselves in a position where the only choice they had was to place their faith in people who said they wanted to help them initially. As we all know, with these initial this group that came to Martha's Vineyard, they were lied to and taken advantage of. And unfortunately, you know, initially they weren't taken care of.
That's in Texas.
Yes, in Texas. I mean, with what happened to them, the way they were lied to, the way they were turned into basically political objects to be utilized with a breathtaking cruelty by people who didn't think of them as people. I mean, now they are in a much better position because they all have pro bono counsel. They're all pursuing their legal avenues. But as everybody's aware, the immigration system in this country is very challenged, and they're looking at, you know, 8 to 10 years before they actually have relief.
So I want to pick up a couple of things. First, I said that's in Texas. You agreed. But I just want to be clear. We're referring to the process of allegedly luring them to the plains with false promises, et cetera. As I understand it, many of the people who arrived on Martha's Vineyard did get some support from nonprofit organizations along the southern border when they first came to the U.S.
They did. They were in a shelter down in San Antonio. All of these individuals that were inveigled onto the plains to go to Martha's Vineyard were in a shelter initially, where they were able to have 3 days in the shelter. And then ultimately, they all kind of ran out of time, and they were all there without food, without knowing where to go.
So that's a moment of vulnerability, a really particular vulnerability.
Absolutely. And, you know, if your child was in a terrible position with nowhere to live, no money, no friends, and someone came up to them and promised them a place where they'd be safe and cared for and where they'd belong, and then they intentionally abandoned them specifically in an attempt to have some sort of political operation happen, which then to these vulnerable people makes them feel afraid and ashamed. You know, it's quite heartbreaking.
You are representing 5 people who are now our neighbors, members of our community. So tell us a little bit about them and tell us how they are now.
So they're doing as well as they can be doing. The biggest challenge for all of them is that our system takes such a long time for them to obtain work authorization. And so everybody is really challenged by the fact that they can't lawfully work with work authorization. So, for instance, there's a gentleman that's living down on the island now who was a cheesemaker back in Venezuela. And there is a dairy on the island that has been looking for a cheesemaker. And the skill set match is perfect for both of them. But unfortunately, because of how bogged down our federal system is with providing work authorization to people, he can't be employed doing what he does. And this employer is out the employee that he's looking for.
How long might it take? When could he conceivably be able to work for the dairy?
So through the asylum process, you need to wait 6 months till after you filed your asylum application before you're even eligible to apply for work authorization, which presently is taking upwards of a year to process. So through the asylum process, you're probably looking realistically at 18 months. And through the U visa process, once you're certified by the government as having a prima facie, meaning on its face, case for a U visa, you're eligible for work authorization while you wait for your U visa. But it takes about 2 years for them to do that review.
Wow. So, and you're in that process now because they were considered victims of a crime in Bexar County. You received those certifications and are working on their U visas now.
Yes, I am.
But that could be 2 years.
Yes.
So really, realistically, the first time these 5 migrants could work is 18 months from now.
Yes. Realistically, the first time they can lawfully work with authorization is 18 months from now.
So how do they get support in the meantime?
So there's been incredible support from nonprofit organizations. There's been incredible support continuing from the community. And then what a lot of people do, and there's been a lot of coverage on this, it's not a mystery. A lot of people do their best to just find day labor and work as they can for people that are willing to give them work, whether it's shoveling snow or mowing grass or doing whatever they might be able to find.
So I want to come back now, not artificially, but really honestly back to that moment at your Thanksgiving table where you recognized that everybody was feeling gratitude for the same things. As we head into the next part of this holiday season, understanding that the challenging realities that all of the folks who landed on the vineyard are facing, but especially the five that you're working with, where are you getting the most hope right now?
Just from being with them and talking with them and feeling like you can just keep putting one foot in front of the other. I was with several of them last night. I was with several of them on Friday. I really do feel a kinship with them. And it really is a great season for coming together and helping each other and recognizing that we all need the same things, that we're all human beings, that we all have the same desires, and that we're a community and we stand up for each other. And I'm just so grateful and honored to be able to report that the people in our community and our Commonwealth really stepped up for these individuals. And now we're enriched by 49 more brave, hardworking people than we had before.
Immigration attorney Rachel Self, who represents five of the nearly 50 Venezuelan immigrants that arrived to Martha's Vineyard this fall on a charter plane from Texas. Rachel, thank you for catching us up on how these new members of our community are doing.
It was my pleasure.